بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The books on hadith have a sequence. So there are different types of books on hadith. People generally ask, if there is the Bukhari Sharif, why do you need Tirmidhi Sharif? So this is because of the lack of the understanding of the subject that is being discussed in the different kitabs. The Bukhari Sharif, in our terms, is like an encyclopedia. So it covers every dimension of deen. That's what you would see in an encyclopedia, that everything that you want to look for, you'll find some trace, some material, some substance. Then you find Tirmidhi Sharif, you find Sunan Abi Dawud. So this would discuss ahkam, rules and regulations, prohibitions and obligations. So the whole theme is different here, and the theme is different here. So when the Bukhari Sharif is commenced, then it will start off with iman, and then, by the way, they will discuss ikhlas and sincerity. Why? As I say, that Bukhari Sharif is an encyclopedia. When it's an encyclopedia, then every aspect of deen must be discussed. So the first thing that has to be discussed is iman, because without iman, you're wasting your time. Because a lot of charitable works, you are kind to people, you are trying to be humanitarian, doing everything, but there's no iman, so it's pointless, all these things. كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي يَوْمٍ عَاصِفٍ. It's all getting wasted. So therefore, the imaniyat will be discussed, all the important elements and the all important aspects of iman will be discussed. Then if you come to Tirmidhi Sharif and Abu Dawud Sharif, then they will start off with Taharat. Because they say it's a Sunan. And what when they say Sunan, what they refer to is all the commandments. So now if you look at the commandments, then they start off, the most important is Namaz. But then the introduction to Namaz is get your istinja and your wuzu right. Because if you didn't get your wuzu right, then you can't get into Namaz. So get your wuzu right, get the istinja right, and then you come into Namaz. So there's a whole sequence that has been followed in these kitabs. So the sequence that they have followed is so precise and so well set that you think, you know, 1300 years ago, 1200 years ago, when they were writing these kitabs, their thinking was so profound. Such an order, sequence, perfectly logical. How did they get it? So you have to say at some point that they were inspired. They were not Anbiya, obviously, receiving revelation, but they were definitely inspired to write it in so much of beauty, so much of precision, so much of sequence. Now, if you look at Abu Dawud Sharif, then the sequence they have got there is a little bit different. They start off with Taharat, then they move on to Namaz, then Zakat. Why Zakat first? Because over 25-30 places in the Quran Sharif, after Namaz is Zakat, showing the position of Zakat in Islam, that over 25 some odd times in the Quran Sharif, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. Zakat is followed by Namaz. So therefore, after Namaz, Zakat is discussed. The whole chapter of Zakat, running into several pages, is discussed. Then after that, some kitabs will discuss Hajj, some kitabs will discuss Roza. So, right. Abu Dawud Sharif has got it first, Hajj, and then followed by Nikah, and then Sawm, right. So he first speaks about Nikah, then he speaks about Roza, right? And then after Roza, then he speaks about Jihad. So all the four important articles of Islam have been discussed. Then now, after all the articles have been discussed, now he's moving on to Jihad. And when you talk about jihad, young people get very much spirited and they want to know also, can't we participate? What can we do? That's the general spirit. And it should be like that also. They should be have some spirit. Now, there is a discussion after jihad or in the chapter of jihad, Ayyul A'mali Afdalu, that which action is best. Now, why they discuss which action is best? Because this world, this life, is a transit lounge. Right? Transit lounge, waiting for death to get into our right abode. Right? Allah will make our abode Jannat, but we all are waiting here and to get into the abode. So this world must be and is likened to a transit lounge. Now, if we understand it as a transit lounge, then our greater concern is not to heap and accumulate or increase our lives. Anything to increase the life or anything to accumulate and heap up wealth. Because now you think of a person that's in a transit lounge, is it right for him to think how to accumulate and heap up, and is it right for him to live longer in the transit lounge? It doesn't make logical sense that you want to be longer on in the transit lounge or you want to accumulate more in the transit lounge. So the world has been likened as a transit lounge. So to be having that fikr and that concern that the wait must be longer, there is something wrong in the thinking. The reasoning is not right. Right. So now that is for the person who believes in a life hereafter. One is the kafir. The kafir, well, you don't blame him because he doesn't believe in a life hereafter. When he doesn't believe in a life hereafter, so he's not concerned about doing for the hereafter. So he'll say, make the best of it as you are alive. So long as you are alive, do the best, make the best. Enjoy, run around, go for holidays, make investments, do all these things, make the best of it as you are alive. So this is how the kafir will think. And the reason for this, as I said, is they don't believe, they don't have the concept of the hereafter. And that's the parting point between a Muslim and a kafir, a non-Muslim. Therefore Allah says, وَوَيْلُ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. So destruction to these people, because they don't even give zakat, because they don't believe in the hereafter, and nor do they believe in the day of Qiyamah. So they don't give zakat, and why don't they give zakat? It's because they don't believe in the hereafter. Had they been believing in the hereafter, they would have been giving their zakats. But now they don't believe in that, so therefore they don't pay zakat. الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. So this aspect of the hereafter is like a central, is a pivot of Islam. If you've got that, then the direction is right. There is a goal in life, there is a meaning in life, and there is a purpose in life. And to the extent that this is obliterated, it is deleted from your life, to that extent there is no meaning to life. Imagine you're playing soccer, right? Playing football. It's a league match. But there's no goals there. Teams are there, but there's no goals. Well, when there's no goals, I say, is there any goal here? Is there any, in Johannesburg, I say, palace here? Any palace here? So when there's no palace, there's no goal, then there's no direction. There must be a direction. What's the direction? So even in a sport, though it's futility, right? But you want a direction. So life without the concept of the hereafter, without the yaqeen in the hereafter, is futility. If you have that yaqeen in the hereafter, then life has got a meaning. Someone was asking me some days ago that I feel so depressed and sad and overcome with agony and grief, etc., etc. Whole list of complaints. So I said, see, the yaqeen, the conviction, the certainty in the hereafter, if you've got the certainty and you know you're moving in that direction, then there'll be a meaning to life. When there's a meaning to life, then you don't feel despondent. You don't feel depressed. But if there's no meaning to life, then you must feel despair. You have to run for a psychiatrist, psychologist, you have to run for some counseling, and that counseling will be just a temporary soothing measure. Just treating the symptoms, that's all. It will give you some sleep and some relaxation until the effect of the drug wears out. That's all they can do. They can't do it. They'll talk to you something, but whatever they talk to you also will wear out in time. But now, if you got that yaqeen in the hereafter, and the extent of the yaqeen, the conviction, the certainty of the hereafter, I'm going to do this, that this is the reward. After life, I'll have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the end. There'll be a hisab kitab. There'll be a proper accounting, right? A proper reckoning of all my works, small or big, hidden or open. There's going to be a whole hisab of that. So now, when that yaqeen and that conviction strikes, then everything goes in place. But if that yaqeen is not there, then the thing that takes its place is handa hu ke hai, what will people say? So if there is a marriage, then nikah, let's do this. If we don't do this, then what will people say? If we are going for namaz or something, a masjid, putting up a masjid, what will people say? In the nikah now, if there isn't an engagement, what will people say? If the mahar is too big or too less, then what will people say? The business must be like this. If it is not like this, then what will people say? So people became the god. So in order to satisfy the feelings of people, in order to come up and to meet up the feelings of people, sometimes you have to take interest. Because now you don't want to be looking, you don't want to be seen as a broken down Johnny or a small 4x4 shop and doing business. No, if I start off business, I must do it in a big way. So if I need to do it in a big way, then I must go to the bank. And when I'm going to go to the bank, then I have to pay interest. So that's all right, I can withstand that. But people looking at me as a broken down Johnny, then I ignore this, I don't want this to happen. So then, when that yaqeen of the hereafter is not there, then something else comes into that place. What is it? People, what will people say? My clothing, what will people say? My car, what will people say? My lifestyle, what will people say? My home, what will people say? Everything, what will people say? So that becomes the cornerstone in the life. So now, therefore, the hadith speaks about nikah, right? That he did nikah, فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْإِيمَانِ فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي النِّصْفِ الْبَاقِ. That when you made nikah, then half your iman, half your deen is complete. Now, fear Allah Ta'ala in the remainder. Half is complete. Now, Imam Ghazali Sahib Rahmatullahi explains this. How he explains this? He says, the two things that distract a person from his course, two things that turns you away from your course, from Allah Ta'ala, from the Akhirat, from Jannah, from Jahannam, two things that will turn you away. One is lust, right? So many things that are related to lust, right? Gay, lesbian, Satanist, everything to lust, right? A lot of things that relate to unisex and all that, right? A lot of these things are related to lust, right? Someone was just telling me, you people are not innovative. Be innovative. So there's two jawab to this, two answers to this. One was what Mustafa Rahmatullah explained. He says, "Tang nazri se agar koi bad nazri se bach jaye, to ghanimat hai." If a person is narrow sight, narrow vision, but because of his narrowed vision, he is guarded against a wrong look, wrong haram look, then that's a great thing. It's an achievement. You are narrow, right? You don't have that sight, you don't have that vision, etc., right? But because you don't have the vision, you are guarded from looking at wrong, right? Then that's an achievement. So it's nothing to be crying about and nothing to be worried about. Why? Because the greater thing you have acquired, what you have acquired this, that you aren't looking at the wrong things. Imagine you try to be have a person, you want to be a person of sight, understanding, the distant future, etc. But in the process, you looked, a lot of things you looked, and you got yourself into haram. Now that haram is such, that once it goes in, then to pull it out, to purge it, or to extract it becomes very difficult, extremely difficult. I'll come back to this topic, right? But as the thoughts are running in my mind, then I will discuss the topics, right? For some time now, I think it's about 4 or 5 years or 10 years now, you're getting this type of an email coming. Emails coming from women. The question seems to be very innocent, right? What they write this much, that once we get into Jannat, will we be able to marry the man of our choice? Right. So now this question seems to be very innocent, but then I began to think, what's motivating? What's the catalyst in this? There must be some catch here. It's not so innocent. So I understood now, most of it is coming from girls that are a little bit educated, right? School, high school, university. So these type of questions are coming mostly from that quarter. Not those girls that were homemade, that were outsourced. One is that which was homemade, and one which is outsourced. So most of these questions are coming from those girls that are outsourced, not homemade. So I said, what's the common thing? What's the common denominator here? So I said, see, they went to school, then they went to high school, then they went to university. They had a little bit of a free life, running around bazaars, malls, etc., meeting up people, social sites, meeting up people, right? In the meanwhile, they came up of age, their hearts were stuck with someone, but the parents wanted them to get married elsewhere, right? So now, in conformity to the wishes of the parents, they got married with her. But that love of that old lover is stuck deep into the heart. Like the Quran says, وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلِ. See, they went wrong. This Bani Israel went wrong. Why? One of the reasons why they went wrong is because they didn't make proper tawbah. When they didn't make proper tawbah, the love of that kafirship was still stuck there, jammed up. Now they can't take it out. So any small thing, and again, they are thrown off the road again. Something happens again, they are thrown again. Why? أُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلِ. That thing went deep into the heart, and some small hurdle comes, and they're thrown off again. Some small hurdle comes again, and they're thrown off the heart, off the course. So now, unfortunately, these women, girls have gone to these type of places. When they went there, it's a little bit of a carefree life. You know, you'll get lecturers coming from the varsity, mature students, say, please don't send your girls, please. We know what's going on there. You send the best Parada woman there into that environment, and I will guarantee you, they will not be fully pure. Some experience or the other, big, small, but some experience or the other. Although the girls make this type of an argument that Muslims also need Muslim woman gynees, right? But I ask you, in all fairness, you know, in trying to make one gynee, you have to sacrifice at the altar of 100 women, altar of 100 women being sacrificed, at the altar of indecency, you get 1 woman. 100 women are sacrificed at the altar of indecency, and 1 woman is produced. Right? And they would tell you, they'll confess. They say, "No, we had some experience." Some women would say, their teachers would say, their lecturers would say, "You know, they do have it. We can't say that they don't have it." There'll be 1 out of 100 that doesn't get through this experience. Now, just for that scrap of paper, I say, is it worth the while to lose the chastity? Is it worth the while to get into indecent life? Is it worth the while? Right? You got a scrap of paper, you got a little bit more money. But I said, this world is a waiting lounge. It's not about how much I got in the waiting lounge. It's not about that. Then what's the criteria in the waiting lounge? The waiting lounge, everybody will tell you that I must have a smooth and a smart transition into the plane to Jannat. Anything else, I ask you. As you're in the waiting lounge, you are waiting to get on board, right? To what? As a Muslim, on board to Jannah. But you want the transition to go smooth and smart. Now, you don't want any hurdles on the way. That's what you want. So, that abundance of life or the abundance of wealth is not the criteria to have a smooth and a smart transition into the plane of Jannah. Now, that depends on the individual, how much he wants to invest in the yaqeen in the hereafter. That conviction you've got, you'll work accordingly. You don't have that level of yaqeen. You will not say that a Muslim doesn't have the yaqeen, but the level that is required, the required level is not found. So when that required level is not found, so you don't take the hereafter so serious. You will take it like a very simple thing. So I explain now. See, now, according to the marriage, right? According to the marriage, now, the boy or the girl can't do 100% to the marriage or to the children. Why? You'll ask why. They can't do 100% because their hearts are stuck in some old love. The hearts are still lingering, right? So I can't do 100% here. I will do some here, but the thought is still lingering in the mind. Right? And then to support this, you have a lot of people coming and complaining. Sometimes a boy is complaining, sometimes a girl is complaining that it was Eid, it was Bakara Eid, it was my birthday or something. The old lover sent a bouquet of flowers. They don't feel wrong, they don't feel they're doing anything wrong. It's just a friendly relationship we had in school, so now I'm just sending a bouquet of flowers. So this is what's happening. It's not something that is not happening, it's happening. Sometimes people know about it, sometimes it is just hushed. Right? But it's a genuine fact. So you understand it like this, this aspect of decency and shame, understand it like this. It's so important, it has to be discussed. People don't understand the importance of it. Right? And then this becomes an impediment. Now, how does it become an impediment? Now, let me explain to you I'll illustrate one example to understand how it becomes an impediment. See, if someone wrongfully, mistakenly has taken poison, right? Then the whole family becomes very much concerned. Doesn't it happen? Because they know that how toxic this thing is, it will cause organ failure, right? Right? Any doctor will say it will cause an organ failure, everything. Nothing will be working, the man will die after that. Right? Now, exactly the same. Now, see what Rasulullah has to say about a wrong glance. Right? The hadith is saying, Sahmun masmumun min sihami iblis. Right? It is a poisonous arrow of shaitan. Simple words. It's a poisonous arrow of shaitan. What? The glance. So when it's a poisonous arrow, shaitan, someone looked, now he's got shot by who? He's got shot by shaitan with what? With a poisoned arrow. So this is now, you're talking in a spiritual realm, right? So physically, you can't perceive it. I'm alright, I'm breathing well, I'm seeing well, I'm interacting, I'm eating everything nicely, sleeping all nicely. Right? So it's a physical, not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. So it's a spiritual thing, this arrow is striking at the spiritual organs. Like we have physical organs, then we have spiritual organs. When it struck the spiritual organs, then the spirituality in you is collapsed. When the spirituality in you is collapsed, what happened after that? After that, everything worldly, material will appeal to you. Everything material and worldly will appeal to you. And anything about deen will not have the required and desired appeal. Like the normal person, you will see that he doesn't have that attraction to come early to the masjid, to make zikr, to read Quran Sharif, to make talim in the house, right? He doesn't have that. But yes, he will have that attraction to create an investment. What are you going to do? Something's going to happen. What's going to happen? Man got about 50 shops. Talk of reality, he's got 50 shops, right? But his concern about his child is that he must be able to stand on his feet. That's the greater concern. You see this? We haven't yet, it hasn't yet struck us that this is a transit lounge. I got the 50 shops, but the child will also work. Right. You see that? If that yaqeen was as it's supposed to be, then you wouldn't have thought like this. Then you would have been like this. Mawla Yahya Sahib, he says Mawla Ilyas Sahib, his elder brother, right? The founder of the Tablighi Jamaat, his elder brother, the father of Mawla Zakariya Sahib. So, someone came and complained to Mawla Yahya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, that you see your younger brother Ilyas, Mawla Ilyas, he's just about deen, khidmat for deen, etc. Nothing for himself. So you must put him into some business, man. What's wrong with you? He must be able to stand on himself. So he only is doing deeny work. Why Yahya Sahib, being the elder brother, got very angry. Normally he was a very calm and a very composed person. But at that time he got very disturbed with this person. He said, you know, you're coming to me for such a long time. I thought you were a man of understanding. Your iman is not right yet. Your yaqeen is not yet here, right? I have yaqeen that the barakah that I'm getting in my provision is because of this young boy. the good that he is doing. We believe in the unseen. You see, the school and the secular way it takes you, you must believe in what you see. What you can't see, don't believe in it. It is just a tale. It's an illusion. And what we are saying, no, by Allah Pak's word, Rasulullah's word, believe in it. So the barakah that I'm getting in my business is because of this youngster. This youngster, the work he's doing, that's bringing about the barakah here. I'm getting business upon business, but it is the barakah, the sincerity, the goodness of this youngster that's bringing about the goodness here. Now the normal person, no, it's my effort, my acumen, my hard work. Then where's Allah Ta'ala? Then what's the difference between you and Fir'aun? Fir'aun also said the same thing. Haman also said the same thing. Innama utituhu ala ilmin indi. You see, all this I've got, this wealth I've got, treasures of gold, diamonds, etc. That the keys are so heavy that even a well strong bodied or strong people, they can't manage carrying the keys of the treasures. So much I've got. But Allah Pak didn't like this. See where is the word yakin is. He says, innama utituhu ala ilmin. It's my acumen, my hard effort, my work. What is this? Musa alayhi salam. I did it. What is Allah Ta'ala? I did it. Then, as a result, what happened? فَخَسَفْ نَبِي. The earth swallowed him. So, this yaqeen has to be right. The yaqeen of the hereafter, that Allah Ta'ala is watching every work of mine, has a reaction. Here, in the hereafter, doing something according to the sunnah, you will see a good response. You will see something working out. And if you're doing it with the wrong intentions, then you will definitely have a wrong consequence, but time. We just need the time and you will see it thereafter. We think there's no consequence. There's going to be a consequence, but a little bit of time is required to see the consequence. So this poison has gone into the crevice, the recess of the heart. When it's gone there, it's gone into the spiritual organ, and there's a spiritual collapse. The spiritual organs have collapsed. When they have collapsed, then you can't see the hereafter. You can't understand the hereafter. You can't relate to the hereafter. You only relate to money and wealth. Outside, you are wearing a nice costume, kurta, jalari, jalaba, topi, you're wearing three-quarter pants, you're wearing. But is the yakin right? Or it is just a show, to show that, no, I'm on. I've got a topi right, I've got a kurta right, I've got a pants, I've got an amama, everything right. So, handa hu ke hai, the whole concern is, what will people say? We had a case just now, about 3-4 days ago. Wearing a mama, everything. Where were you, bhai? I didn't see you. A friend coming regularly for namaz. Where were you? No, I went to a bride. And who are your friends? No, my friends are all non-Muslims. So they bought the meat, yeah, and attended. But proper amama, kurta, trouser, everything is wearing. But now you see how the understanding goes. That I must feature well amongst people. People must have a good regard for me. I ask you in the qabr, are they responsible to take the account? Are they going to be responsible for your reckoning? If they are responsible for your reckoning, definitely work for a good reputation and a good image. But if they are not responsible for that, I don't say must look untidy and bad. I don't say don't spoil your look. But you don't have to work for that. You don't have to work towards that. What will people say? And handa hu ke hai, ye hu ke hai, na te hu ke hai. Don't worry about that. As long as in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, you are seeming to be well. Well, Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh is like the captain of this whole ship that's going into righteousness, you know. All going into righteousness, and he's the captain, right? So someone complained to him that, you know, people are taunting me and they're saying this, and, you know, I did like this. I didn't have a da'wat like it's supposed to be, and people are talking now. They're talking, so what must I do? So Hadith's answer was like this: they're talking against me. But now, it's not that I fight with them, but they are talking like this. So Hadith says, look at the answer. So profound, so accurate. He says that if all world, they connive, they agree that you're the wali of the time, you're the 100% wali, this person. Everybody's eyes are on you. They talk about you. Talk is about you, about your talks. Everything is circulating around you. But in the records of Allah Ta'ala, you are the first inmate of Jahannam. The kafir of the time, and you are the first inmate of the Jahannam. Right? I ask you all this good that the people have to say, is it going to make any good? Is it going to be any good in any way? And conversely, look at the other side, if the whole world connived to say that you're the worst person, you're stingy, you're a moron, you're like this, and whatever you are, right? Everything. The whole world had agreed to say that. But in the books of Allah Ta'ala, records of Allah Ta'ala, you're the perfect mu'min, first went into Jannah. I say, is it worth the price or not? Let them see what they want to say, let them talk about it. We're not here to control their tongues, we're not here to control their minds. But yes, in the books of Allah Ta'ala, in His records, I must be clear. I don't want anything to come and jam me up in His records. His records, there must be nothing, no impediment. It must be, I just smooth and into Jannah. Allah has made it. You can do it. You just moved across and you got to Jannah. In fact, you will look forward to the flight. If the books are in order, ticket is in order, you want to jump in, you know that your abode is Jannah. You're looking forward to the flight. So that was the life of the Sahaba Kiram and the pious. They looked forward to the journey. Now, because we are mesmerized with secularism, Westernism, etc., so our thought is now, how must we become healthier, eat well, go to a gym, etc., lengthen the life. And the generation that came before us, two generations that came before us, all their life was, most Muslims, is not a, my transition to the next world must be right. Not about how long we live and how much we make. No. So the whole fikr now is how long must we live and how much we make. So life must be smart and we must have a good image, a good wealth. We live nice. That's the whole concern, fikr. So much of shops, so much of business, etc. That's the whole fikr. The fikr is not how smooth and smartly I move across. So that was the fikr of the people two generations, about 35, 40, 50 years ago. That was the fikr of all these people, about 50 years ago. Most people, most Muslims, that was the concern. And now, how long can I live and what will be the quality of my life? The quality of my life must be there. The lengthy life and a quality life. But that's not the concern. Get the concern right, get the goal right. So, now, we spoke about this here. Ayyul a'mali afdal. And I just spent. Right. So, this various hadiths, one is saying, Al-mu'minu yujahidu bimalihi wa nafsi fi sabilillah. Best deed is what? The Muslim that strives with his wealth and his person for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. He strives. And the second hadith is saying that the best is salatu fi waqtiha, namaz at the time, right time. So there's three things that the hadith says that do it and at its time. Namaz, right, when the match is found in a marriage. Number two, and janaza. So I think when I look at our people, I think, I don't know if other countries, but in this country, for janaza and doing it on its time, I think we got about 80%. Janaza, people do it like how they're supposed to be doing it, on time, alhamdulillah. The grace of Allah Ta'ala, we don't delay it here, right? So we got 80-90% on that. As the janaza comes in, husal is done, and we do what we're supposed to be doing straight away. Then, as-salatu fi waqtiha, maybe we got about 30%. Namaz, but on its proper time, then we got 30%. The third thing, and when the match is found in a marriage, then do the nikah. That I think maybe 0.1% we got. Because everybody, that wall, that uncle here, that aunt there, what about this one here, you consider this thing here, you consider that. So everybody's bringing all this into the equation, but nobody is talking about what Rasul Abbas meant to say. He made considerations for everybody. Father, grandfather, uncle, friend, whoever it was, but consideration for everything and every person. But is there koi mard mu'min hai jo kehta hai ki main aaj Nabi sam ko khush karta hu. Oh, please, my Rasul Pak sam shree. It was my happy day in my life, right? It was the happiest day in my life. Let me bring happiness to the heart of Rasul Pak sam shree. In is a story in Persian, you know. One Persian heard about a Indian poet, said, and he used to say a lot of poetry in the praise of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A lot of praise. So this Persian said, hey, this person has got a lot of ishq for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he must be a great person. Let me go and see him. So he travels to India to see the poet getting his beard shaved. So he says, Aka Chemi Kuni, sir, what are you doing? Sir, what are you doing? He says, Rish mi tarasham, walakin dilak se nami tarasham. I am shaving off my beard, but I'm not hurting anybody. See, people all think good of me, I praise Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So again, the same concept, see how I look, what's my reputation, how do I fare amongst people, what do they think of me? So the whole fikr is, the whole concern is, how do I fare, what do people think about me? So he says, yes, I am shaving off my beard, but I don't hurt anybody. So this Persian that is coming into India, he says, yes, Dile kase na mitarashi, walakin dile rasule paksa sab mitarashi. You may not be cutting off anybody's heart, you're not hurting anybody, but definitely you are hurting the heart of Rasule paksa. So look at the purity of this person's heart at that time. Now, this is a world renowned poet, this person that is shaving off his beard. But he heard this, once he heard it, he started crying. He said, Jazakallah, chashmam baz mikuni. May Allah Ta'ala reward you immensely. You opened up my eyes. I didn't know about this. Ba jane jana wasalmi ka kuni. You have joined me up to the beloved. Really, I didn't know about this. Really, I didn't know about this. That's what I'm doing. But now you opened up my eyes and you linked me up to the real beloved, to Allah Ta'ala. See how they look at things. So the other hadith is saying, now, what is the best? Salatu fi waqtiha. Namaz on its time. So we move away from the teaching of Rasulullah SAW, then there must be problems. There'll be bitterness, there'll be problems, boy and girl are meeting, talking, right? I think now present is very safely, internationally, I'm telling you, because of the mail that I receive, right? So over 70 or 80% premarital relations are carrying on. Now it's reached a point where the parents are condoning it. That's a tragic thing. Premarital thing, the phoning, fiancee, the mother-in-law will say, the mother-in-law-to-be will say, what's wrong if Zaid stays over the night here? What's wrong? He's our fiancee, like it's our jammai now, so on. Let him stay over. See how they're thinking. They're living in haram, and nobody bats an eye. But if something goes against their reputation, that you didn't do like how I wanted it to be, then you bring the whole roof down. But Rasulullah is getting injured. Our amal are being presented before him. And nobody bats an eye. Nobody's concerned. I ask you, are we fair to Rasulullah? Are we showing the desired respect for what he's done? Where he bled and he cried for us. And then this is the type of response and appreciation, the reward that we give him. That we're hurting you, and going on hurting you. And we enjoy hurting you. Now this was happening. So when we depart from the style of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we go into the laps of Iblis, and we don't realize that we're doing this. But the youngsters are doing it. They're phoning, they're emailing. Then you get several situations coming up. All right, now they're still getting to know each other. So they'll be dating, and whatever else they'll be doing, right? Courting, dating, etc. There's a severance. When there's a severance, and the parents of the girl say, we don't want you. We don't want that. Because of whatever behavior we've seen in you. So you acted very harsh to us. You've been hostile to us. Alright, you're doing that. I'll fix you up. In the meanwhile, what he does, I'm sure you know what happens, right? What he does now, is he asked her to take photos of herself. Semi-naked, naked. Said, alright, the same photos, I'll send it viral. I want to see what you're going to do. Now you see what happens. So all this is a result of we departing from the Sunnah Tariqa of Rasulullah. So all this must happen. And one is now we received a proposal, we did the homework. I don't say don't do homework, do the homework of the boy who's sending the proposal, etc. Whatever homework you require to do, see it. your daughter will manage with the living with him. Is he the right person? Is he like the criteria that Rasulullah is showing? This is the deen and the ways. Akhlaq. If that is right now, then don't wait, then do it. Zawwijuhu. Then do it straight away. Now, are you giving this boy and girl a chance to get into haram? You just did the homework. You received the proposal, you did the homework. There's no chance for them falling into haram. Doing the homework, finding out exactly what is the boy, my daughter, will she manage, right? And will they live nice, etc., etc. Will it happen? See, our life is very treacherous. I'm talking to you with experience. People come and cry, right? No, we gave our son, we gave our daughter. But when they wanted our daughter, they were very good and polite and everything else. Now, every small thing, they smash her down. Belittle her. They're doing this, right? But at the time they wanted the girl, they were showing a lot of respect. Now that they secured this marriage, now they're not showing the respect. But I say, is that right? Is this hypocritical or not? You know, the Majlis talks about nifaq and munafiq and all that. Then we need to look within ourselves. Are we behaving like that? But when we wanted it, then we did everything. Now we got it secured, now we're not concerned at all. I say, are we behaving right? Now these are the checks and the balances that we need to see. Are they in place or not? So, the second thing is, salat, first year salatu fi waqtiha, right? Then the second thing is, birrul walidain, right? Respect and kindness towards parents. Respect and kindness towards parents. After namaz, kindness towards parents. And that's also a topic that has to be discussed. Because we are all circular educated. Remember, we are circular educated. And that's why I emphasize, because we are so much soaked in circular, we don't have the proper deen understanding. The kurta we're wearing is just a costume. I tell you, I got no doubts about it. I've seen so much, I've heard so much, I've come across so much. I'm convinced that it's just a costume. That deen, that Islam is not in the heart. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ It's all circular values that are entrenched into the heart. It goes so bad, the thinking is now, see now the old dog, put them in the old age. They must fend for themselves. Or if someone is a little bit courteous, then he says, alright, see we are five brothers and sisters, everybody, they must rotate. 1 week here, 1 week there, 1 week there, 1 week there. Now look at it, how illogical this is. Why is it so illogical? You ask a person, a little bit age, over 65, 70, ask him, right? When he's used to his apartment, right, then for him to adjust to something else, it takes about three days, 4 days. And the man is not yet adjusted again. He's not adjusted, so he doesn't have a full rest. Then he may be not so comfortable with the daughter-in-law or the son-in-law. Now every step, he's scared. What's going to be the response? What are they going to say? So I ask you, that your parents, do they deserve this treatment now like this? But now this is our thinking. Our thinking has gone off. When the thinking went off, so now rotate them. So now we are very fair. We give everybody a chance. But that's not the way. These poor people from Chatsworth and Phoenix. I say many things, the akhlaq, they will overtake us. When the father or the parents become old, or one of them have become widowed or whatever, then there's a fight. Each brother is saying, I will do it. I will do it. A to Z, I will do it. There are cases that I know of, that say, alright, take all the inheritance, or take all the miras, everything. But give me the honor to look after my parents. Now these are the poor people that are doing it. And when we became wealthy, then that's the appreciation we're showing to Allah Ta'ala. You gave us wealth, so we will not look after our parents. We'll dump them. Birrul walidain. And the word that the hadith is using, ihsan, bir, is not just fulfilling rights. It is kindness. There's a difference. Fulfilling rights, alright, you need so much of ato, chawal, etc. for the month. Well, let's fill you up. Chawal, ato, right? Kindness is a different thing. Abba, today, I want to buy that ice cream for you. From that shop. I will make it myself for you. And I know how you like the tea. I won't do it myself. Nobody else. I'm not going to allow anybody. And I know you like this biscuit. And you like this crockery. You're going to get it. Now that's called kindness. It's a different. You can see the kindness coming out from the person. So when we moved away from this, what thinking got warped. You know, this masjid was built by the contractor of a non-Muslim. Right? Won't mention his name, but he would say, when he heard the Muslim style at that time, that no, everybody's looking forward to making khidmat. You know, he say, but where, in which zaman are you all living? Because he says that his mother-in-law is sick, and then the girls have to take turns to look after the mother-in-law because perhaps she's semi-paralyzed or something. And when the own daughters go to do the khidmat and serve their mother, right, they say, hey, why are you not dying, man? Why are you not dying? You know, all our weekends are getting all smashed up and squashed up here. Die, man. Die. You know, we can't enjoy our weekends, our holidays, long. So that has become the life. We haven't registered that this is just a transit lounge. We haven't registered that what we're doing to this old man, to the father or the mother today, tomorrow our children will do it, the same thing to us. We haven't registered that. We think, oh, nothing can happen to me. We can do it to them, but nothing can make it happen for me. It's a matter of time. Within a year, within a few days, it will happen, you see. But Islam is saying, be kind, be good to the wife, the parents, be good to them. I told one person, just be good. Just be good, please, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So he's saying, but why? And when, I said, bhai, you see, you know about that youngster, so yeah. Now, who's taking care of him? His wife. You see, Allah can turn the tables around. You're strong, you're well-bodied, you're financially strong. And how long does it take you to just become paralyzed? How long does it take you to lose something? You know, you're not thinking right, you can't understand right, you can't see things right. How long does it take? In days, you can just change. You've been kind, you've been good, right? And something happened to you, so your wife, your children, your mother, your parents, all will take care of you. He said, oh, this person was very good. You've been good to all of us, let us also be good to him. Now that's our life. And this is not a Muslim life, it's a Western life, it's a secular life, not our life. But now because we are minority, we're getting consumed, and our thinking goes off. So the second thing Rasulullah is emphasizing, birrul walidain, be kind to them. Right? And then the third thing, then jihadu fi sabilillah. But see the sequence, first namaz, then parents. Now, then the question comes about, alright, one hadith, Rasulullah speaks about jihad, striving the path of Allah Ta'ala. That's the best thing. In another hadith, Rasulullah is speaking about namaz on the right time is the best thing. So what's the reason? So the reason they give is that these things are relative, right? To situations and persons. For him, perhaps, the most important thing is jihad, because his namaz is right. He's being good to his parents, and now Islam needs him. So now for him, this is the best. And this person here, his namaz is not yet right. And Islam doesn't need anybody for making jihad now, right? So now for him, the right thing is get his namaz right. So it's relative to situations and to persons. Amr izafi. Today, there was some guest that came from the Jamiat Madrasa in Transvaal, right? About 80 of them students and ustaz, etc. They came in, they wanted some advice. So, whatever Allah put in the mind, I will discuss. So, I explained to them, see, one is the importance of knowledge, right? And then the importance of acquiring knowledge from the right persons. إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينُكُمْ فَانْزُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. So, this ilm is not just a pastime. It is your deen. When it's your deen, then you better check who you're getting the deen from. You better see who you're getting the deen from, you see. So, it's your duty, the onus is on you now, that you better check it up properly who you're acquiring the deen from. Because it's not just a pastime. No, you must check up properly. So then I have to explain now what's the reason. Now today now people can't understand. But because they can't understand, they have to explain everything step by step. So I've seen a look at two scenarios that were genuine, like two scenarios. Our general pattern is respect the elders, right? Family, father, grandfather, respect them. That's the whole style in our deen from old beginning, right? Now a child has been admitted to madrasa, reading with tajweed, reading very well, became a hafiz, etc. Grandfather can't read properly, wrote tajweed, etc. So the grandfather is crisscrossing the child. So the child blatantly refuses to initiate the salam. He says to the grandfather, you must make salam. Dada is saying, "Bhai, you are my grandchild, you are supposed to be initiating the child. Don't you see the age difference? And I am superior to you because of age. I am senior to you. I am senior to you because of age. You are my junior." So that child turns around and says, "No, I am senior to you. I know the Quran Sharif. I can read with tajweed. So I am senior to you in that respect. You must initiate the salam." So I ask you now, that when there's going to be such a broad spectrum for interpretation and misinterpretation, can you go right? Every person says, "No, I can interpret the Quran, I can interpret the Hadith." He says, "No, my interpretation is right. No, you know what? He must respect me." The grandfather is saying, "No, he must respect me because of the age difference." I ask you, will you get a closure to this? Can't get a closure to it. Right. Now look at another situation. The learning deen. But now see how they're misinterpreting things. Learning deen, but misinterpreting things. So, there's a child, right? Child is grown up now, he's educated. Very, very, very educated, very advanced. He's swearing his father. He's hitting his father. And he's cursing his father. But very educated. Bausyar. You know, not Bausyar. Tanusyan, or two intelligent, three intelligent. So he's swearing the father, cursing the father, and hitting the father. But why are you cursing and swearing and hurting your father? So you see, my father did a very big zulm on me, very big oppression on me. For his 20 minutes of enjoyment, I have to suffer for the rest of my life. I have to generate an income, medical, I have to take care of, right? My life, everything, I must take care of. Just because of this silly man's pleasure, I had to go through all this difficulty. So he made a lot of operation, a lot of zul on me. And that's why I'm very upset with him. Now you see, misinterpretation. What he's saying is right. 20 minutes of enjoyment, and this child has to take everything on himself, right? But that's not how we look at it. We look at life differently. We don't just look at it how we want to look. But I'm showing you this is what's happening. Circular, and what's happening. Everybody wants, he must be strong, stable, circularly, everything. So he got good results in matric. So we'll compliment him. Hey, very good, mashallah, kitna hoshiyar hai. But whether he's going to Jahannam or Jannat, we don't know. But you must compliment him for that. Now, let me show you what happens. When a person has got the right mentors, the right guidance, the right guidance, what it does to a person. I showed you the negative side, or let's show you the positive. Hazrat Ji Muhammad Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was an old person coming to contract. Not an educated person, knows how to do building, or can manage the whole thing, but not educated. So he comes to Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali, and Nikah will be on time over there. I'm getting gabrak now. Inshallah. He's coming to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Now, he's got a contract to build a masjid. Now you have a residential area and a business area. So the pay is a little bit downside, and they want to put up a masjid there. This is a wealthy area, that's a poor area, and they're putting up a masjid there. Right? So, now this person is jahil. He doesn't know about deen, but he's got that association with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. He knows about money, but he doesn't know about deen, right? But he sees the need to associate, right? But now see the beauty of the heart. the goodness of the heart. Now, when the area was shown to him that this is the area that we have demarcated for a masjid, he said, from today that I am here now, I got the award to be managing this whole project, and the area for the masjid has been demarcated. I am going to do the namaz every day here. I am going to do it myself. Now, the wealthy people, he is wealthy also, so the wealthy people in the neighboring area, see, you come to us, just 2 kilometers away, we'll house you for all the duration, 1 year, we'll, you know, I'll stay here with the poor, and I will call the azan, I will do the namaz. Now look, step by step, this person is following the sunnah, the association, and what it does to the person. Nabi Sam dua, Allahumma ahyini miskina, wa amitni miskina, wa shurni fi zumrat masakin. Allah Ta'ala, let me live as a poor person. Not begging, but that I don't seem to be a wealthy person. You know, khata pita, just balancing up. So let me live like that. And let me die like that. And let me be raised with those people. You know, as a transit. So that these people will get the first entry. The poor will get the first entry. So let me be raised with that group of people. Now you see this man, that association, and how his whole thinking has changed. To live with a wealthy, because he's wealthy. No, I want to live with these people so that I can be admitted into Jannah with this class. So he's living here, right? Then he says, no, I will do the namaz. وَقَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّكُمْ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. His heart is connected to the masjid. These are the people of Jannah, I'm showing you. The hadith is talking about, right? Now then, the third thing in this man was that it's Zuhar time, for example, right? So he's read his Zuhar namaz, and straight away, now you're talking of a man, what, 50, 55 years ago, right? So the third thing is that he set the alarm after Zuhar for Asr namaz. As he performed the Asr namaz, again he set the alarm for Maghrib namaz, and so forth and so on. وَانْتِزَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ السَّلَاةِ. See, all this man is acting on the hadith. Now you see, he's a jahil, doesn't know anything, but you see, when the heart is good, he's observant, he's watching what's going on, what Allah Pak wants, he's listening to Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Alayh. He can't read Quran Sharif properly still. But he's so, you know, what he's doing is precise, precision work. His heart is joined in the right place, his thinking is right. He's not just a costume. Right. So, his heart is in the right people, in the right place, at the right time. There's no flaw in that, right? Now again, now look at this, the dimension of kindness. Now there's a stray dog that's coming around, and he heard from Hazrat Ji, be kind, be good to people. Whatever food he's got, a little bit to throw, some bones, whatever else, and that dog became his friend. Now it's guarding the place. Not a week or 2 weeks passed, and a poor Hindu comes up, I want some job. I said, alright, I got some job for you. Can you know bricklaying? Right, I got a job for you. Right. There's an apartment, small, I'm living in this place, a small room there. You will share one room, I'll share that room. But a place for him, for a place for him. Right. See now, that woman was wrong, evil, but kindness, it didn't stop her from showing that kindness, and she got a Jannah. Whether a Muslim or a non-Muslim, but kindness, gentleness, good words. We don't have to be harsh, impolite and aggressive, good words. But now this association, what it has done to this man here. A little bit of association, the heart is good, no preconceived ideas. But what is done to the person? Right? Now my time is up now, but I just want to show you, the story continues. Now, Mona will complain just now that no show for the Nikaya. So Allah Pak accept us, correct our thinking and our reasoning, get our namaz right, number 1, janazas right, number 2, and number 3, our nikahs right.